I'm Senator Bill Dodd, Chairman of the Senate Government Committee on Governmental Organizations. Today we'll be holding information hearings on tribal state compacts of both Hoopa Valley Tribe and the Susanville Indian Rancheria. Both these compacts were signed on October of last year by Governor Jerry Brown, and it is my understanding that both are supported by our current governor, Gavin Newsom. For those of you unfamiliar with the Senate's procedure, the established policy allows for informational hearing on the essence of the compact to be followed by a vote on the members of the members on the Senate floor. There is no vote taken in policy committee here today. Also, as a reminder, the legislature does not have the authority to amend tribal compacts. The vote that will be taken on the Senate floor will be simply to ratify the compacts. For planning purposes, we will begin with Hoopa Valley, followed by Susanville. Let me thank all the witnesses in advance today. I especially want to thank Ms. Namark for being here and to welcome you to the first of what I'm sure will be plenty of informational hearings on tribal compacts in the coming years. After we take testimony from the individuals listed on the agenda, there'll be an opportunity for public comment. If the witness for the Hoopa Valley compact can please come forward so we can begin. Chairman, please.
Morning, Honorable Chairman and Committee. My name is Ryan Jackson. I'm the Chairman of the Hoopa Valley Tribe. I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 674, which will ratify an amendment to the Hoopa Valley Tribe's gaming compact with the state of California. We wish to thank Senator McGuire for his longtime support of the Hoopa Valley Tribe and his willingness to sponsor our ratification bill. The Hoopa Valley Tribe in Humboldt County has one of the largest trust land bases in the state of California tribal members. The tribe's businesses include our Hoopa Mini Mart, Hoopa Valley Utilities District, Taewoon Alden Inn Motel, Lucky Bear Casino, and Hoopa Forest Industries. These businesses are crucial to the tribe's economy as they provide goods, services, and jobs to the community. To ensure that Lucky Bear Casino can continue to operate slot machines, SB 674 codifies the existing compact that the Hoopa Valley Tribe agreed upon with the state of California last year. Today, the Hoopa Valley Tribe is thriving with approximately 3,425 tribal members. The tribe owns several enterprises that operate on the reservation, including Lucky Bear Casino. All act as an integral part of the Hoopa Valley's economy. The casino currently operates between 80 and 130 machines on the gaming floor and has 20 employees, 12 of which are Hoopa tribal members. The last compact was ratified in September 1999. In 2018, the tribe's compact was agreed upon with Governor Brown. This bill codifies the 2018 tribal compact between the state of California and the Hoopa Valley Tribe so that it can operate the Lucky Bear Casino. Specifically, this bill would allow the tribe to operate up to 349 gaming machines and have up to two casinos on the tribe's trust lands. The compact includes updated provisions for licensing, compliance enforcement, mitigation of off-reservation impacts, and protections for patrons and employees that are consistent with other recent compacts. Because the tribe's lands are extremely remote, there's currently no off-reservation impact of the tribe's casino. This compact amendment will allow the tribe to continue to operate our small gaming facility for another 25 years. The state has agreed to waive the cost of regulatory fees to the state for 5 years because the Lucky Bear Casino is so small, and in light of the fact that the tribe agreed to update the regulatory provisions from the 1999 compact. It is our hope that with the passage of Assembly Bill 1718 last year, that we will not be obligated to pay regulatory costs in the future. The increased cost of compliance with the updated regulatory provisions will have a negative impact on casino revenues, which provide jobs to tribal members. The state recognized that the tribe should not be required to pay regulatory costs in light of the burden it would have on the tribe, and in light of the fact that the tribe did not pay such costs for the past 20 years. The tribe's regulatory ability has proven to be more than adequate to ensure that the gaming facility is operated in a manner that protects public safety and ensures the integrity of the gaming conducted therein. We are pleased that Governor Newsom and his new tribal negotiator, Anna Namark, are supportive of this framework and ask for your vote today. We thank you for your time and ask for your support for SB 674. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Namark.
Good morning, Chairman Dodd and members of the committee, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Anna Namark. I'm the Tribal Negotiations Advisor for Governor Gavin Newsom. It's also an honor to be sitting up here with Chairman Jackson of the Hoopa Tribe. The tribe and the state entered into a tribal-state gaming compact in 1999, which enabled the tribe, through revenues generated by its casino, to support a strong, self-sufficient tribal government and to fund essential services to tribal citizens. In light of the upcoming expiration of that compact, the Brown administration negotiated and signed a new compact with the Hoopa tribe. This compact supports tribal and state interests and is consistent with the recent compacts ratified by this legislature, so the Newsom administration supports its ratification. The economic provisions allow for the tribe to operate up to 349 gaming devices in up to two facilities. The compact requires the tribe to pay its pro rata share of special distribution fund costs, but those will be delayed until 2023. And as the chairman mentioned, under the AB 1817, I think it is, there is discretion by the Department of Finance to have them not pay that at all if there's sufficient funds in the SDF. So that gives some sort of buffer space for that. The tribe is not required to contribute to the Revenue Sharing Trust Fund and will instead be eligible for payments under the Revenue Sharing Trust Fund and the Tribal Nations Grant Fund. The other core provisions of the compact, including terms related to licensing, regulatory oversight, labor, public health and safety, and environmental protection, are substantially similar to those in other compacts negotiated by the Brown administration 2016 through 2018. This includes protections against workplace discrimination and harassment, provisions to adopt and comply with the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act, and inclusion of the state's minimum wage rates. The tribe will adopt the standard Tribal Labor Relations Ordinance. The compact also includes similar provisions for environmental mitigation based on determination of impact in the Tribal Environmental Impact Review. The compact's term is 25 years, unlike the 99, which is 20. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Fantastic. Mr. Gribben?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Jack Gribben. I represent Unite Here, the Hotel and Casino Workers Union, that has recently surpassed the 300,000 members mark, and we're very proud of that. We're also proud of the Brown administration that pivoted away from the administration before that and decided not to try to fund part of the general fund through tribal gaming. And we feel that it's important that tribes, whatever monies they bring in, should be their money. And in addition to that, though, we also enjoyed the fact and appreciated the fact that Governor Brown took an interest in the workers who are not members of the owner tribe and ensured that they would have the rights to freedom of speech and freedom of association and join a union should they decide to do that at some point. And, you know, that we thought was, since they are the engine behind this industry in California that's grown quite large, that was also a very, very admirable thing for the last governor's administration to do. And we are now pleased that the new administration seems to be interested in taking the same course. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gribben. From my standpoint, a lot of questions have already been answered. Any members wanting to address any issues?
I just want to clarify.
Senator Rubio, please.
I think I'm sorry, I missed it. You said that the pro rata share is going to be delayed to 2023?
Yes, that's correct.
I just didn't hear that correctly.
Yeah, I know. If it's helpful clarification, it's a bit sort of confusing because the compact does provide for a pro rata share, but recognizing the size of the casino and wanting to ensure that any funds from that casino go back to the tribe and government programs, there's this sort of the AB 1817, which allows Department of Finance to reduce or completely eliminate payments for limited gaming tribes. I think, as I understand it, they sort of put the delay to January 2023 into the compact, so there would be some time to kind of work that all out before the tribe would have to pay any SDF funds, so it wouldn't be just sort of a cliff where suddenly they had to pay a new fees that they didn't have to before.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Senator Archuleta.
Yes. Thank you, and congratulations for the work that you do. I see that the tribe has approximately 3,425 enrolled members. Are those tribe members? Are those family members? How is that number 3,400?
Those are all tribal members, yeah.
All tribal members. And also, I also see that the work that you do goes back into not only the casino, but into the community to take care of, course, the tribal police department, the vocational training, educational Head Start program, and some of the other community programs that you give back. Can you elaborate a little bit of what you give back to your own community and how it affects the outside community?
Sure. I would highlight that the Hoop Valley Tribe was one of the original self-governance tribes formed in 1988 under the Indian Self-Determination Education Assistance Act. It then allowed us to compact with the federal government, Bureau of Indian Affairs specifically, all of the governmental functions that were required as a result of treaties that were signed in the 1800s. From that point on until now, it's been the tribe's responsibility to provide, you know, all the services that folks would otherwise have, you know, off of the reservation. So, like you'd mentioned before, education is one area. We do fund a lot of the scholarships and grant awards for students. We commit a lot of the money into our recreational programs, you know, diversion or otherwise for our youth. There are other number of other areas that we also spend and commit our dollars to across the board. Social services. You know, there's also, you know, areas in which the funds are used to help create more economic development opportunities for us as well. So we try to spread it around as much as we can to try and impact majority of the members on the reservation. As far as the impacts to the folks that are not a part of the tribe, if you will, but part of the overall community, and we're very inclusive of everyone who's there. Obviously, if you're not a tribal member, you're not necessarily entitled to some of the services or benefits that we do provide. Our healthcare facility is open to anyone who, you know, needs any kind of assistance in that way. So we like to think that we don't really have too much of an impact on the community outside of us. And if that were the case, you know, we would try to remedy that if there were any issues that did arise.
So the impact that you would have on the outside would be the employment of members of the community who are able to be part of the organization as far as employees.
Sure, there's that, and then there's also the you know, limited amount of tourism as well. Folks that do come in, you know, we'd like for them to frequent our establishment and enjoy the valley as we do as well.
So the local community is reaping the rewards, obviously, from the casino as well, because of the employees being able to live around the community and buy homes and participate in the things that they do on their daily lives, shopping and just being a well organized and managed organization that you are, they're able to have a stable income, stable jobs for their future, and so on as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, please.
My name's Pina. I'm an attorney with the Hoopa Valley Tribe, and I just wanted to maybe clarify one point for everyone, because I know a lot of the compacts that come before this committee have been for large gaming tribes that have maybe small tribal lands. And, you know, that are within a larger community. With the Hoopa Valley Tribe, they're extremely rural, and the reservation area is very large. And so the Lucky Bear Casino is a very small facility. It has usually under 100 machines, and it is just really an amenity that is in the tribal community within the reservation that does provide limited number of jobs to tribal members. As it really... It's hard to imagine an off-reservation impact from the casino because the distance is so great. So it is unusual in that sense, and I think that as I wanted to just clarify that, because going forward, many of these compacts for limited gaming tribes that have fewer than 350 machines, they will be that kind of tribe where they have less of an interaction with the local because they're self-contained and self-governed. But do continue to have positive relationships with local government, the county, the state, and the casino really isn't the economic engine of the tribe, but it provides additional jobs to the tribal members and others that want to work there.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. At this point in time, we're going to go to public comment. Anybody wishing to comment on this compact? Seeing none, that completes the hearing for you. We appreciate this. This will, as I said earlier, will end up back in the Senate for approval. So thank you very much for coming, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Now we'll begin the compact hearing for the Susanville Indian Rancheria, and we'll start with you, Ms. Namark.
Great. Hello again. Hi. And thank you again for having me. As with the HOOPA compact, the tribe and the state entered into a tribal state gaming compact in 1999, which, similarly to HOOPA, and I apologize for repeating myself, but I think it's worth noting, through revenues generated by its casino, supports a strong, self-sufficient tribal government and funds essential services to tribal citizens. In light of this, of the upcoming expiration of that compact, the Brown administration negotiated and signed a new compact with the Susanville tribe. This compact supports tribal and state interests and is consistent with recent compacts ratified by this legislature, and so the Newsom administration supports its ratification. The economic provisions allow for the tribe to operate up to 1,200 gaming devices in up to two facilities. The compact requires the tribe pay its pro rata share of special distribution fund costs. The tribe is not required to contribute to the revenue sharing trust fund, but if it decides to go above 349 devices, it will no longer be considered a limited gaming tribe, and it will not be eligible for the revenue sharing trust fund or the Tribal Nations Grant Fund. Other core provisions of this compact are substantially similar to the provisions I described earlier in HOOPA, including terms related to licensing, regulatory oversight, labor, public health and safety, term, and environmental protection. The tribe's hotel is frequented by hunters, so the Susanville Compact has a unique provision that, in addition to the normal prohibition on non-law enforcement possession of weapons at a gaming facility, it allows overnight guests at the hotel to transport and store unloaded weapons and ammunition in their hotel rooms. So that's sort of the big unique thing with this compact that's worth noting. And thank you very much. I'm happy to take any questions. It's also an honor to be here with the chairwoman, so I want to make sure and say that.
Chairwoman Beauvais? Please.
Yes.
Good morning.
I'm sick, and
oh,
so
sorry.
But it was important to be here today with all of you, and thank you very much, Chairman Dodd, and the rest of the committee members. I am Dina Beauvais. I'm the chairwoman for the Susanville Indian Rancheria. Our tribe is located in Susanville, California, within Lassen County. Lassen County is a very large geographical county, although it's a very small populated rural area, and we are within the Cascade and Sierra Nevada mountain ranges. Our tribe is unique in that it consists of Paiute, Maidu, Pitt River, and Washoe tribes. There are four separate tribes that tribal people that make up our population of the Susanville Indian Rancheria. Our tribe is comprised of about 1,400 members. Our members, we have some that are in Canada. They're spread throughout the United States. Our reservation has grown steadily from 30 acres in 1923 to over 1,400 acres today through donations, purchases, federal land transfers, and such. Lassen County is extremely rural, as I had mentioned, and suffers from high poverty rates, approximately 16%, and a low per capita income of only approximately $20,000 per year per the U.S. Census Bureau. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, as of 2016, there were only 398 employers in Lassen County. The tribe has operated the Diamond Mountain Casino since 1996 and has gradually expanded the initial 6,000-square-foot facility, adding a restaurant, hotel, and most recently a microbrewery. The casino has had a positive impact on the economy of the region and the community of the region. The casino's event spaces host a multitude of fundraisers and community events. We also hold a quarterly law enforcement coalition meeting where we invite members of the local city police department, our county sheriff's department, We have our California Highway Patrol come, Forest Service, Fish and Game. We have the BIA law enforcement. We have Department of Justice that comes up. And we do that. We used to do this on a biannual basis, but now we've moved that up to quarterly because we see that, you know, in this, as times evolve and things are happening throughout our Lassen County, it's important that we have that collaboration, ongoing collaboration with law enforcement, that they see us as much of a partner as we do them. You know, gone are the times of us against them type of thinking. And so we work very diligently to collaborate with our local law enforcement. Gaming revenues are a vital funding source for the tribe's government. Gaming revenue supports vital programs such as education, child care, and elder services for the tribe's members. One of the other things that we do is we spend about $300,000 a year on higher education grants for our tribal members. We currently have at least one member who is in her doctorate program at UC Davis, and we are very, very proud of her. She's a younger person, and she's working very hard to be one of those people that we promote because we're very proud, and we want to encourage all of our youth to understand how important education is. The tribe's gaming enterprise also provides employment for 139 people, 106 of which whom are not members of the tribe. They are community members. Furthermore, the Diamond Mountain Casino gives away approximately $60,000 a year to local charitable causes. This last year, when we had the the big fires in our areas, or outside of our area, but the Paradise fire, the tribe saw that, you know, this was such a devastating event for, you know, people that we have tribal members that live in that area as well, and our local, you know, our other sister tribes, that we put together $25,000 and donated it to this cause, to the victims. We didn't put that out in the news. We didn't, you know, do anything. We thought that it was more important to just give what we could and try and help the community and not use it as some big publicity event. The tribe also pays the city of Susanville about $25,000 each year to cost of services provided for their service to the casino and the tribe. We are currently, as I had stated, we not only collaborate with law enforcement, but we've been in a very close collaboration with the city of Susanville because our casino is located in the city limits. And we are currently looking at purchasing two police vehicles for the city of Susanville because, you know, they, in our talks, you know, the city is a small, again, very small city. And they don't have a lot of money to, you know, to purchase their own types of things. And so we thought that it was important to be able to try and help. You know, they'll probably put Susanville Indian Rancheria, you know, vehicle purchased by Susanville Indian Rancheria. But we see that also as a promotion that we are working in collaboration with the city of Susanville, their police department, which is important. The tribe currently operates its gaming facility under a 1999 tribal state gaming compact, which is set to expire in 2020. AB 1333 would allow the tribe to continue to operate its small gaming facility, which is right now only operating about 200 gaming devices under the new tribal state compact. I encourage you to support this bill. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Chair. I want to appreciate that. Now, Mr. Gribben, comments, please.
Yes, again, Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Jack Gribben with Unite Here, the Hotel and Casino Workers Union. For the reasons I described before, we support the Susanville Rancheria Compact, just as we support the Hoopa Valley Tribes Compact, and we will ensure that we have the entire labor movement making sure that both the Senate and the Assembly know that we support these compacts, and we hope that these compacts achieve unanimous vote in both houses. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Questions, comments, members? Chairwoman, I'm wondering, can you describe some of the challenges that the tribe still faces moving forward, please?
Well, it's so for, you know, in looking at it, I mean, our casino is small. You know, we don't make a lot of money. We're very frugal. We do not give per capita to our tribal members. We use every penny that we receive to put back into tribal programs. And so, you know, without it, I don't know. We wouldn't be able to support our tribal members as well as we do in our higher education grants and things like that. I think that, you know, with everything, we work, like I said, in close collaboration with the city so that we can operate a very well-ran casino. We have banned many community members because of drugs and because of all kinds of, you know, things, the ugly, you know, things that come in to running a bar and, you know, in a casino. But we keep our eyes open and we watch those things, and we're very eager to react and keep our facility a very well ran, safe place for community members. The other thing that I wanted to say, also with our hotel, we are a green hotel, and we're the only green hotel in the area. So the state actually, we have corrections and CDF and all sorts of, I think even Forest Service, they come and stay there because it's a green hotel.
Thank you very much. Yes, Senator Rubio.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm just, and forgive me for not knowing this, can you give me a sense of how you plan for the future? We know all the other tribes have been successful in growing their hotels and their industry. Do you set like a long-term plan for your own casino in terms of where the investments go, just out of curiosity?
Currently, I mean, so we, again, we have to be very honest with ourselves about our gaming population. You know, the we have, you know, gone a different direction and had a lot of things. And if they didn't, you know, having bans or having, you know, these kinds of things, they didn't work out. So we had problems with fights and people drinking too much. So we've scaled that down. I don't see us building another casino where we're located. I think that we will continue to look at that facility and continue to just let it evolve, and looking at how we can market it. We continue to market it as well as we can. We probably, on the area that we have, our hotel probably will stay the same size. We have a gas station mini mart on that property as well. And so I think that it's really going to remain the same. I don't see us enlarging or building another casino in the future.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Chairman.
Ms. Namark, not specific to the Susanville compact, but with the, you know, in the next couple of years with the 1999 compacts expiring, do you have any idea of how many compacts we'll be seeing, this committee will be seeing?
Yeah, so of course, tribes that are not currently gaming could come forward and want to negotiate compacts as well. But assuming the only things that we're negotiating before the sort of drop-dead date of, I think it's June 30th, 2022, right? Because we have the expiration in December 2020, and then there's the kind of automatic in negotiations. I believe that number is 33.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Public comment?
Good morning. My name is Robert Joseph. I am the District 2 Council Member for the Susanville Indian Rancheria. One of the things that I really want to look at is we've done a survey a few years ago on what we put back into the community through our taxes and stuff like that. Well, we got about 90 employees and very little are tribal members there. So a lot of the state and federal taxes do go back out into the community, which is huge. But I think my biggest thing is we don't give per capita, just like our tribal chair just stated. You know, we put it back into education. Education, our goal is, you know, self-sufficiency for our tribal members. We have, and I called this morning just to double check, we have about 60 people out there right now that are in our higher education program. And throughout the years, we have about a 95% success rate of those guys moving on. To me, that's huge. You know, and that's where, you know, our money goes into. That, the kids, the elders, and one of the other things I want to put out is, for the first time, because I sit on the housing board as well, is we went and built a fourplex inside the city limits. This is something that we've never done before, you know, just because we didn't have places and stuff on the reservation that was ready to build, and we needed housing development quick. So, you know, that's something too with the taxes and stuff as well. You know, I myself signed over $35,000-$40,000 for permits and stuff to build this fourplex, and it was about either a little under or a little over $1 million. But it was for, you know, our younger generation kids that are going to school that don't meet the qualifications to be up on the hill where we have it for small families and what. You know, so to me, that was huge. But again, you know, I just want to put out is that we don't give per capita out of this. And our casino is not going to be getting any bigger because we did do a survey, you know, because we're only 80 miles from Reno, Nevada. You know, so we're just keeping this all local. You know, so again, you know, I think my biggest thing is what I said on the tribal council is you know, self-sufficiency for our members in education. You just can't go wrong in education. So that's just one to let you guys on that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to comment? Senator Archuleta.
The question of housing, you had mentioned that you're building a fourplex outside the reservation in the community. Is that for tribal members to live there, or is that open to the general public? Oh, it's for tribal members. Okay. Thank you.
And that is on fee land. We will never put that land into trust. That is... We pay the taxes on it, you know, and do what we need to do in the community.
Very good. Well, that concludes this portion of the compact hearing. Ms. Namark, thank you for being here. Mr. Gribben, thank you. And Chairwoman, feel better.
Thank you.
Take care. This meeting is adjourned.